The Secretary of Commerce is going to be in Detroit today talking about the semiconductor shortage and that it's really reached an inflection point, and she'll be discussing at the Detroit Economic Club what we need to do to make sure that that supply chain is more secure in the future, and that has a lot to do with passing the CHIPS legislation, which is now sitting, waiting to be funded in Congress. We're going to be watching, the president is going to speak about the Omicron virus. That may have an influence on the markets, and I said so far things are trending in the green direction in terms of stock futures. Closer to home, let's find out what's happening with Crane's Detroit business. We welcome in Mike Lee, the managing editor, as they look at the startup phenomenons here in the Metro Detroit region. Mike, good morning. I hope that your Thanksgiving lived up to all your expectations.
That was wonderful, Guy. I hope yours did, too.
We had four children under the age of five. I am thoroughly exhausted, and I can't wipe the smile off my face.
Ready to be back at work, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's spectacular. Yeah, this week, the startup world, Michigan, has had some kind of stunning success. We haven't seen so much of lately in terms of new companies that have grown quickly. And we took a look at two examples this week. One of them is StockX, the auction site website in Detroit that's backed by Dan Gilbert, and a software company in Rochester called OneStream. Both of these companies have become what's known as unicorns, which is a company that's attained a valuation of $1 billion plus. This is... attracting that kind of investment is somewhat new for Michigan companies. Most of that money flows to the coasts, California or the East Coast, Silicon Valley. These companies are showing that Michigan can really compete in that world. One of the benefits of this is once you've got the attention of these venture capital investors and the money that they have to invest, it is likely to bring more of that money to the region in the future as the reputation changes, which is important because neither of these are automotive companies in any way, and it's important for us to diversify our economy.
Right, and we're still trying to burnish our technology street cred, right?
Absolutely. That's what one of the folks in the story says. It's about technology, talent, and capital. Michigan has a lot of the technology. We've got two major research universities. So much new technology comes out of U of M and MSU. It also involves keeping that talent that can make those technologies a reality in the state, so they're not going off to work in Silicon Valley. Some of the most successful startups in the world have a Michigan connection. The Google was founded by one Michigan native and another one who had U of M ties. Keeping that kind of talent at home is another crucial factor to creating more companies like this.
You talk about talent recruitment and talent retention. We hear an awful lot of carping about the inflation pressures on wages and on salaries, but you've got a good piece here talking about the fact that you can be penny wise and pound foolish when it comes to trying to keep a lid on wages, that there are a lot of intangible benefits to paying more for talent.
Absolutely. We looked at small businesses, and small businesses often have a tough time competing with bigger companies on wages, especially benefits. But we talked to a range of small businesses that have, that are looking beyond that and have raised pay, done the best they can to deliver better benefits, getting creative with to make sure that employees feel that they're compensated fairly. And that's really what small biz experts say is that this is worth it. It pays off. Turnover is expensive. Employee turnover is expensive. People who believe that they're fairly paid and well paid turn into what the one source called brand ambassadors. Mm-hmm. The difference between between a good employee and a less good employee can be enormous for a business. And if you're small and you don't have that many employees, everyone makes it different.
We had looked forward to talking with MSU coach Mel Tucker this morning about his $95 million 10-year deal with the university, but he's already hard at work, Mike. He's on a recruiting trip today and was unable to talk with us, so he's not resting on his laurels. But that is a landmark deal for MSU, which has kind of been late to the party in terms of these sponsored, if you would call, endowed positions.
Yes, Mel certainly got a nice pre-Thanksgiving gift in terms of this contract, $95 million, 10 years. And the interesting thing about it is much of that, we don't quite know how much, but we're sure it's significant, is being funded by a couple of local businessmen, Matt Ishbia of the United Wholesale Mortgage and Steve St. Andre of the auto marketing firm called Shift Digital, both MSU alums and boosters. Ishbia has given the university, has pledged to the university quite a lot of money over the last couple of years. And now they're all in on paying Coach Tucker, who now, I believe, becomes the second highest paid coach in the country, behind only former MSU coach Nick Saban down at Alabama, who had quite a game on Saturday. Some other universities, you might wonder, individual donors funding coaching salaries, is that unusual? It's becoming less and less unusual. At U of M, both Jim Harbaugh's job and Juwan Howard's jobs are sponsored. They actually have the donors' names attached to their official job title. You know, it works a lot like people endow professorships at universities, where part of the salary is underwritten by donations.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at some of the ins and outs of this, in terms of how unusual it is and whatnot. One thing, like almost any donation to a university, are those tax deductible? Yep, they are. Which is interesting and might fuel a little debate on whether that's where our tax dollars should be going. But
yeah, let's not ask Elizabeth Warren about that, shall we? I've got a feeling, but by the way, before we let you go, and this is not unusual early on in a campaign, but we've seen a shakeup in the James Craig campaign. John Yob, who is really kind of the wizard of big news events, is out.
Yeah, the kind of an interesting business of politics story from Chad Livengood the other day. Yob is known for being able to get attention, let's put it that way, and Craig's campaign launch certainly got attention. You could debate whether how well it came off, but it definitely got him some ink as he was starting out his campaign. They say that they have disagreements on how to move forward. We don't really know what those disagreements amount to, but I think it's going to be an interesting race for governor this year.
Yeah, the quote from John Yob in Chad's piece was interesting. He says, the chief has every right to run the non-traditional campaign that he wants to run and thinks will be successful. And that kind of implies that he didn't think this non-traditional approach was maybe going to be as big a winner as other folks within the campaign might be. We'll wait to see if that ends up being a good thing or a bad thing for the chief. In the meantime, Mike Lee, you have a great week ahead at Crane's Detroit Business.
You too, guy.